This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLaro5. Today's show is brought to you by French Lick Resorts, Man O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and Edwin Watts Golf. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Welcome in. 8:03 tee time. I like to start soft, Sean, because it's early Sunday morning. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Great show lined up, as always. My buddy and partner, Perry French, Cleveland Golf, Srixon Golf, Zexio Golf. I wonder how many more of those I'm going to have to add as we go on. He'll join me, and then two great guests are going to jump on here. Jeff Babineau, who was in Augusta. I didn't see him. Writing from Masters.com. He's going to join me from Boston, where he lived. And then Brooks Downing, the big guy over at BD Global. We're going to talk about the Barbasol Championship. And wait till you hear. I've just been reading his Twitter account. The stuff that's going on now to Champions at Keene Run in preparation in July for the Barbasol Championship. I can't wait to talk to him about this. But before we do all that, all of us know, and I talked about on Matthew and Mikey a lot on Sunday, last Sunday at the Masters, about Tony Finau's dislocated ankle. He popped it back in and went on to finish in a tie for 10th. Including six straight birdies on Sunday. If you go to tsn.ca, if you Google it, there's a great column by Bob Weeks, who's Canadian, about this Canadian doctor, Stuart Love. He's a chiropractor and medical practitioner who works not only with Tony Finau, but with a lot of the players on tour. He was there, and he's the guy that helped Tony Finau play in the Masters for those 4 days after that gruesome dislocation. It's really worth reading. The things they did, they determined that he couldn't hurt himself anymore if he played. And we all know the outcome, as I said, of a great 4 days that Tony Finau had. I just wanted to pass that along to you. It's really interesting stuff. All right. We are Backspin Golf. When we come back, Perry French will jump on, and then Jeff Babineau and Brooks Downing here on a Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, High Christmas Carol.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Srixon Cleveland Golf.
All right, we're having a great time here. Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You're talking about
Perry French just did the worst impression of Groucho Marx I've ever heard.
I used to do a better one.
Well, used to doesn't count. Live in the moment, okay, Perry.
Sorry,
in the moment.
Need more practice.
Hi, Perry French.
Good morning. What a start.
Here, jeez. I'll do an impression for you. Perry French. Perry French. Frank.
Yeah,
sounds anyway, hi, Perry French.
Good morning again.
Srixon, yeah. Cleveland Golf, Zexio guy. I'm telling you.
What a week.
What a week. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the Masters. Mm. And this show, Jeff Babineau will join us, who was there. Mm. He will talk, as I was, yeah, of course. But I was only there
guest
Wednesday.
Guest appearance on Wednesday. Yeah.
Yes, guest appearance. Just to photobomb the 12th hole.
Yeah.
Jeff is going to talk about his experience of being there the whole time. By the way, Brooks Downing is going to join me. We're going to talk about the Barbasol Championship.
Yeah.
Things are moving. We got volunteers signing up. It's great.
Right.
Okay.
July will be here before we know it.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. And so I wanted to get your impressions because you're my partner.
You just
here.
Saw my first impression wasn't very, you didn't like that one.
Oh, let me finish. Your impressions of the Masters tournament. You're right. Let me use a different word. Your thoughts about the Masters tournament, because don't ever do impressions on this show again.
Thank you.
Ever. And I want to know. Now, let's talk for a second about Tony Finau, who I just spoke about in the Open also. And your thoughts about dislocating an ankle before 4 days of walking the hardest golf course the pros play to walk for 4 days.
Right.
And I was there. I saw it after dislocating an ankle and finishing up with six birdies and narrowly missing a seventh.
Is Dustin Johnson, was his back really hurt that bad last year? I haven't seen pictures, but holy cow. I mean, DJ must have been almost crippled, wasn't he?
You know what? This is brilliant. That's something I didn't even think of.
Oh, my
For those
gosh.
Of you that don't know, last year, remember, Dustin Johnson slipped on the steps in his rental home in Augusta and had to withdraw.
Right.
Now, we know a back injury can be, but how hard could you have fallen when this guy dislocates an ankle in place?
Good point. It's certainly one of the amazing stories if he would have won the event, it might be liking to the bloody sock of Kurt Schilling.
Don't start.
So I'm just saying, something like that where people
that was ketchup. That wasn't a bloody sock.
So I digress.
Yeah,
I think it was a great story. The fact that he was able to play and actually competed at a high level.
There was another
group of players that were trying to win the tournament on Sunday.
Yeah, there were.
Probably Monday morning.
Stop. Because this is important. We talked about this just for a second. We talk a lot about, on our show, you and I, about your swing and your... Tony Finau hits the ball a long way. He's very tall and lanky and really athletic. Talk for a second about the fact that he couldn't swing the way he normally swings a golf club as it relates to amateurs, to us, who think we have to kill the ball.
Well, no. So he had his coach was there.
Right.
And, of course, he had medical trainers to help get him through this, the pain.
One doctor in particular.
Yeah.
Right.
So what happened was, I think they figured out the strategy on his move. Tony, as big and tall as he is, his move is very, I'll kind of call it almost VJ-esque. He swings a long swing.
Right.
And in that, his movement of pushing up off the ground, like we see Justin Thomas and a lot of the younger players really pushing and forcing that, thrusting into their left side, his golf swing isn't predicated upon that hard a move to the left side.
Okay.
Yes, all swings need to be able to transfer into the left hip and absorb that flow. But his swing is a little bit less than that, and I think he was able to pull back that motion by rotating into the left hip without putting a lot of stress into his left ankle and his left foot.
Yeah.
So his ability to do that and have such a great width of swing, which is his arm extension at the top of the backswing and then, of course, through the impact zone, and create power that, who knows, it may have helped them slow down just enough,
that's my point.
That 10 or 15% that put the ball in play because he's long enough to go hitting at 320.
Even if he dials it back a little, he's
290 hitting it. To 300 instead of 320. Only in a few holes out there, really, you need that. Maybe 2, 5,
the others you can
15
get by.
Maybe. You know, so that's
but
about
he
it.
Still,
the rest is he could hit 3-wood if he was playing healthy. He probably hit 3-wood on a couple, most of the holes just for that same reason. Put in play. One is a tough one too. So I think it played to his advantage on one aspect. He did a tremendous job, and his trainer, his team did a tremendous job to get him to play, and he gutted it out.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry.
Golf.
I just had that.
Golf
thought.
Was played to
golf
win a tournament.
Played.
I think we have a champion that, in the favoritism category, probably doesn't fall up as the most favorite Masters champion to ever arrive.
Right. But that doesn't matter. He's got a green jacket now.
But Captain America, thankfully, he's an American.
Yeah, that I don't care.
So
I don't care about that. I care about that in the Ryder Cup.
Exactly.
I don't care in the Masters.
I think that's where he benefited the most.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Reed won his Masters based on his ability to stay focused that he had learned from being being in the Ryder Cup and President's Cup and really focused. I mean, the one comment he made that was before he teed off on Sunday, he was not going to worry about playing head-to-head against Rory.
Right.
Play the golf course. This is where he didn't think about Rory in one aspect. He played the golf course, and it's a good thing he did because there was a guy up in front of him about three groups that was playing the golf course too.
Who started 9 strokes back. And he even said, I didn't care. I was 9 strokes back.
Just get in the hole, get it going. And true to why his unique skill set, Jordan Spieth, that is, to focus on what is in front of him, not trying to win the golf tournament, play the golf course as best he
make
could.
Make as many birdies as he could.
Get it going and just see what happens. And certainly the effect of the roars, he knew where things were happening, but it didn't take him from what he was trying to accomplish, was shooting the lowest round possible. I don't know if maybe on 18, when he was standing there at 8 under par, I got to think something crept into his head that, hey, if I can get one here.
Course record.
Yeah. Course record, 62. Mm-hmm. Tying, or the major course record, right? Not just the course record at Augusta. And a chance, if I make birdie here, that 15, which has turned out was the number.
That's right.
And he had obviously a tee shot that got away from him.
Yeah.
I was surprised he missed the putt, but he made a great recovery and missed that 6-7 footer.
But here's the other thing about that, as you bring it up. Years ago, that tree that Jordan hit would never have been in play.
Having just walked the golf course, you saw a bird's eye view of it. How narrow is that chute?
It's narrow, but they also moved that tee box way back.
Right.
In past years, it would have been up. That ball never would have been near that tree.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, again, it was one of the best Masters, really, in Jordan Spieth, as it seems he's always a part of it. He got through. He made that birdie on 12, got through his nemesis. It's amazing it's still bothering him, and he talked about it.
The great thing was when that ball came to rest and he put his hand like a touchdown and then made the safe sign, and Michael Greller, his caddy, was laughing. And it's 150 yards, but I've seen it now, and that's the hardest.
It's just amazing how the
sucky
comes into play.
Oh boy!
And that hole is as accomplished as a player as he is. That it was on his mind.
Oh,
he was thinking, what's it going to take for me to get this thing to that spot? Rolled the putt in. When that went in, then he hit it close to their eagle. Oh, I said, this is going to happen. It was a great Masters.
It was.
You know what? And it seems to always deliver some shape or form. At the start of the week, we were thinking about Tiger. Everybody's talking about Tiger and Phil and maybe a little bit of that reminiscent stuff.
Right.
But the true things that the tour continues to deliver, the young guns continue to win majors. Another first-time winner, 8 of the last 9.
8 of the last 9. And now, as I keep saying, all 4 major champions holding the title are Americans between the ages of 24 and 27. All four of them.
And that.
Now, we don't even think about Brooks. I couldn't even remember. Now, I'm serious.
Yeah.
So
when I heard that,
I'm going, okay, wait, all 4. So it's Patrick Reed now. And Jordan and Justin who was the, I couldn't even remember. And I had to look to see who won the U.S. Open.
Right.
Oh, Brooks Koepka. Now I remember. That's right.
Only, unfortunately, Brooks is hurt right now.
Yeah.
So he didn't make his Masters appearance.
Right.
And that would have been interesting to see. And we're losing his competitiveness. But that group of players, wow, it's as strong as you can imagine.
We talk about it now, the Ryder Cup is going to be insane.
Yeah.
It's insane because there are a lot of really good young European players, too.
Oh,
I mean, it's going to be
great. The game of golf is in great shape, but much like all the sports, the youth factor, the bigger, stronger, faster continues to evolve, and we're seeing great players in what it takes to make it to that level and stay and compete and win an event. Much like winning a championship, it takes just it's a group of players. It's an extremely strong and hard to accomplish feat. What I'm thinking down the road as we look at the rest of the majors, the U.S. Open next up. You mentioned the European field, a larger field that will really open up. That we'll see that European flavor in the event, and probably a more exciting tournament because of it. The Masters is a short field and limited to some of the the qualifications, which makes it unique. But the U.S. Open could produce probably an exciting event with
Shinnecock.
Shinnecock.
Oh,
again,
boy.
And a European-style golf course.
Oh, boy. Shinnecock.
Coming up.
All right. Thank you so much.
It
my partner, my Srixon Cleveland Golf, Zexio.
Buddy. We're on the range. Next week, we're going to be on the range to fine-tune your game. So I'm looking forward to working with you and seeing
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I have to go home and get some rest.
Make some time.
This will be an important day.
Get on play golf, everybody.
Thanks, Perry.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their 5 public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Welcome back. As you all know that have listened to the show since I was at Augusta National, a bucket list item fulfilled. One of the great days of my life that Wednesday, except that I did not get to see Jeff Babineau there. And so it kind of killed the whole experience for me. And I don't even want to think about it anymore. Because, you know, Jeff Babineau is one of the really good guys. And it would have been great to see him there. He was past Golf Writers Association president, 20 years plus at Golf Week. It says here he's covered 90 plus majors. That's unbelievable. Hi, Jeff Babineau.
Good morning.
It's great to talk to you. Even though the Red Sox beat the Yankees, I'm still happy to call you a friend.
It's April. I'll hold back my enthusiasm.
Okay. But as I said to you, there might be fights in, you know, two out of every three games between the Sox and the Yanks this year. Be great.
Yeah, and I was telling you, I hope not. Those Yankees are some big boys.
They are. I liked how Aaron Judge just picked guys up and kind of moved them out of the way. It was great. okay, so here we are at Augusta National, which it was my first time. I don't think I've ever been as speechless and had my breath taken away by being there. You've been there a bunch of times. Do you get the same feeling every year when you go back to Augusta?
I do. I really do. I've been to 24 Masters now, and
wow.
I just enjoy walking that golf course, and you always see something new. The beauty of it. I love walking it with people who had never seen it. I didn't realize you had been there. I take people right to the 10th tee.
Yep.
We walk down. By the time we're at the green, they're breathless. I mean, they just can't believe the elevation and the beauty, and now you're down in the Amen Corner, and it's just fantastic. So, yeah, the magic of it never leaves me, that's for sure.
I heard Louis Oosthuizen talking about it, and he even said the same thing. He said, every year before the Masters, I always think, well, okay, I've seen it, and it's great and beautiful. And he said, and then I get there, and I'm just as blown away as the first time I ever got there. So apparently even the golfers feel that way.
Yeah, no doubt. And that makes it great for writers on site because the golfers are excited to be there. That's not the case every week. You know, you go to a U.S. Open, those guys are grinding and trying to survive the week. But at the Masters, I mean, they're inspired. I mean, they know that there's such history there. It's the only major they go back to each year, and you can build into that history and become part of that history. And it's a great chance. And so there, I think their excitement rubs off, and it's fun to cover.
You know, I think one of the things that amazed me the most that you can never, ever, and I've said this a million times since I was there, no matter how good these new TVs are, you mentioned the 10th tee. That's where we went. I walked around a little for about an hour and a half early in the morning, and then Mitchell and Ava and I went to the 10th tee and walked the back nine. That elevation from the tee to the fairway on number 10 is ridiculous. There's no way you can see that, how uphill 18 is, all of that. It's just an incredibly difficult golf course to walk. I kept thinking about the caddies.
Yeah, well, the caddies used to come into that event off the Bell South in Atlanta, and that was one of the hardest walks of the year. And those guys used to do double duty, a lot of them, on those two golf courses, and it's a really hard walk. It really is. I mean, and it kills you to you finish your day with this long, gradual walk up a mountain, it seems, on 18, you know, to get back up to the clubhouse level. And, yeah, you know you've worked for your 5 hours. You've earned your keep, that's for sure.
That clubhouse, I met Mitchell. Ava and I were together. We met Mitchell at the old oak tree there. Everywhere you look, as you said, there's history. You were writing for Masters.com. And did your usual great work, as I've said on Twitter many times. We can talk about a million things about Jordan Spieth and about you know, all the great play that went on there. We had things that, you know, we had 365s in one day there. What was there something that stood out even among all that went on?
Well, I mean, to me, I think what stood out maybe in this one was the star power. I mean, it started kind of slowly. Thursday. And then by Friday afternoon, you had all these guys jump into the mix. I mean, Friday afternoon, Justin Thomas got into the mix. And DJ, Dustin Johnson got into the mix. And Spieth was there. And Ricky was going to work his way there. Bubba was in there. Stenson was in there. McIlroy. I mean, so you go to these places when you have the best players. They don't all fire on all cylinders in the same week.
Mm-hmm.
And this just seemed like one of those weeks where the big guys really showed up. I think I was looking this morning. I think if you look at today's world golf ranking, out of the top 20 players in the world, 13 were some kind of factor at Augusta this year. So,
wow.
To have all the big guns firing, that makes it extra exciting. You had guys, it wasn't a tournament where guys came back on Sunday. They were going to try to catch Patrick Reed, who was making it tough. And on the same note, they made it tough for him to hang on and win. So, you like that when you're covering an event, people are pushing forward. Not falling back. It's uncomfortable to cover the Danny Willett Masters a couple of years ago when Spieth collapsed on that back nine.
Yeah.
Rory collapsed on the back nine. Those are kind of tougher to write about than when guys are charging and making things happen on that great back nine.
You mentioned Patrick Reed, and you wrote, I thought, a really great column about this. This is a very polarizing, obviously, Masters victory. Going through Twitter, as we do, because we get a lot of our news and information that way now, I was astounded at, like many other things in today's world, at some of the things that people... Now, I am not a Patrick Reed fan. I'm not even during the Ryder Cup, although I think it's great theater what he and Rory did at the Ryder Cup. And I'm not a big Patrick Reed fan. I'm not. And I won't apologize for that either. Jeff, I'm just saying.
Right. I understand that.
But
sure.
As somebody who's covered, went to their 24th Masters, just that fact, there aren't usually guys that win this tournament that people don't like. I don't care who it is. A lot of times it's somebody people absolutely adore, but you don't often get somebody. Everybody talked about there was no roar when he won the tournament. There was like applause. It wasn't like a normal Masters victory.
You're right. I mean, it was a weird vibe on Sunday to have somebody who has local ties to Augusta. I mean, you really go back to 1987 and Larry Mize, and that was a huge win for a local boy to win. Now, he was a born and bred, homegrown Georgia guy. Reed ended up in Augusta later in his high school years and, of course, played his last 2 years of college golf there, helped Augusta State to a couple national titles. And
yeah.
So there was this local connection, and he got a nice, polite round of applause on Sunday, not the normal that a leader would get. And then Rory stepped up behind him and got a huge rousing ovation. So you knew right away it was going to be a different vibe. I walked those first couple holes, and had Rory buried his eagle putt on two, I'm still convinced you might have had a whole different day.
Yeah.
Because the place was so pro Rory, and they wanted that putt to go down and that three shot deficit to be erased that quickly. And I think it just would have sent electricity to the place. Instead, after three holes, you had Patrick back ahead by three shots. And it was one of those deals where he was, able to play well enough to keep those guys away. But it was a bit of a strange vibe. As you said, we were waiting. We couldn't see him putt on 18. I was up near the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wait up there and wait for these guys to come up. And you can't see much when they're on that green. But we waited for this huge roar, and it never really came. So that part of it was strange. I think it's a little unfortunate. I understand that if somebody wins the Masters, and you're going to tell their whole story. So some of that's going to come up about his parents. But
yeah.
I think it overshadowed how well he played for 4 days, kind of, and how he earned it with a world-class field, right at his heels. I think that kind of overtook his story a little bit on Sunday. And in that regard, I thought it was a little unfortunate.
I would agree. And the way you put it is, as always, totally professional. I think I said he absolutely earned that and deserves a tremendous amount of respect for what he did on Sunday, for the whole week, really. And it is really unfortunate all that other stuff came up. I mean, I didn't really like him before I knew all that stuff. So it wasn't like that changed my mind about him.
Well, it's kind of funny. I do think a lot of people root for him in the Ryder Cup scenario because he's probably our greatest Ryder Cup player. Since you might have to go back to Lanny Watkins.
Yeah.
Since the U.S. has a true great, you know, who is our Poulter,
right.
Our Sergio in the Ryder Cup. And he's been fantastic. And Doug Ferguson had a great line. He goes, everyone wants to root for him in red, white, blue, but they weren't so eager to do that when he wore green. So
that's great.
It was a great line, and I think it was really true.
All right. And now this week, it's funny. You know, you go from that whole week, really. First, it was Tiger, and then the way the events unfolded. And now they're at the RBC Heritage at Hilton Head, which is kind of, it seems like, as I'm watching it this week, it seems like kind of a real letdown watching this tournament this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I used to go to the, I always used to cover the senior PGA the week after the Masters.
Yeah.
And it just was there's a hangover. No,
yep.
No, there's a hangover. And a lot of those senior players at the time, you know, Watson and Hale Irwin and some of these guys would have played at Augusta, you know,
mm-hmm.
the week before, or your champions. And there was this huge kind of letdown. I think RBC Heritage at Hilton Head is kind of a great follow-up event. Cause it's
yeah.
really relaxed.
Yes.
Laid back. It's kind of the tour's big exhale after Augusta.
Yeah, it
and
is.
And it's a cool little golf course that stands up pretty strongly, really, for just over 7,000 yards. Little tiny greens, and I do think the players that go there make the maybe it's three and a half hour drive from Augusta. It's kind of just a great place to unwind and
take the family,
get back on track.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have played there probably 15 years in a row in a celebrity golf tournament. It's one of my favorite places, and
nice.
And yeah, well, I'm a lucky guy, you know.
You're a celebrity, I like.
Yeah. All right, well, as always, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with us. I always look forward to it very much, and we'll catch up with you as the season goes along if you'll have us.
We'll do it. I always enjoy chatting.
All right, thanks, man. See ya.
You got it. Thanks.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at frenchlick.com.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And as you all know already, because we've talked about it a lot, and it's only going to ramp up as we keep going along here, it'll be here before you know it, the Barbasol Championship. And on the line with us now is Brooks Downing, our buddy from BD Global Sports, the main guy, who apparently is in charge of not only the Barbasol Championship, but everything in the history of the world and golf. That's probably... Good morning, Brooks.
Good morning, Matthew.
I know you don't think of it that way, but, you know, that's what I'm thinking. It must seem like, is there anything that you don't have to pay attention to?
there is, at this point, with this event, there is nothing we don't pay attention to. And the one thing that's been prevailing here this spring has been the weather, which is not cooperating on getting a course prepared
yeah.
well in advance for a tournament. So it'll be a mad sprint. You know, we're 97 days out. Let me correct that. We're 95 days out.
Oh boy,
here this Sunday morning, and it is going to be a mad rush to get everything done.
Well, you know, I feel badly for you guys who are trying to get this tournament put on, but this my world is all about me. I'm having trouble playing golf. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I mean, it's ridiculous around here.
It got so cold early, and then you know I heard one stat there, like one of the weathercasters said a couple of weeks ago that we'd had 88 days in the new year, and
yeah.
70 of them have been rain or snow.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we've got four new tee boxes under construction. We've got a television compound, a new maintenance shed, catering area that's all got to be graveled and paved. We've got to create a bus depot. We've got to go in and trim out the ponds and the banks, make those sharp edges, get the muck out of there, and all of that kind of stuff is going on. And it takes time and weather, and the weather's got to turn for us here soon, I hope.
Well, I spoke with you briefly before we started, and you said there are poles going in the ground, and I mean, I love that golf course. I've always loved it, but what's going on out there since we made this announcement about the tournament coming here for the next 4 years? The PGA has been in there working with you, obviously, and there's so much about it that's going to be different that they have to do to play a PGA tournament there. It's kind of staggering. I don't know if you know that, but it's kind of staggering.
I tell you what, nobody's been in more than the PGA Tour's agronomy staff.
Yeah.
Since even before we announced. To kind of get the plan put together on what changes needed to be made to the course to lengthen it, what changes needed to be made to the course to prepare it for championship play, et cetera, et cetera. And they were here again this week, and their design team will be back next week. And so this week alone, Matthew, we've had the poles for the netting at the end of the driving range, which we have a decent driving range, even on length compared to a lot of tour events.
Mm-hmm.
It's still can't hold the long driver. So we're putting up partial screening on the back end of our driving range just to collect balls, obviously. This morning, our tent and flooring company is building a preview tent for us that'll be on display all this coming week. And so we can take sponsors through that, potential sponsors through that, let them get a feel for the setup, the decor, the catering. We're even having a taste testing on Wednesday so that folks that are getting involved with us can come out and sample the menu items that are going to be provided and see what other options are if they want to upgrade, things like that. So all of that's going on. I mentioned the tee boxes. I mentioned the television compound that we've got to create for 7 tractor trailers and satellite dishes and so forth. Catering compounds, all of that work is underway as we speak. And then on top of that, you know, the club had to prepare over the winter. They went out and doubled the amount or tripled the amount of equipment to work on the golf course. They now have just added 16 new people today, 4 more coming in the next week or so to their maintenance superintendent staff.
Holy cow.
They've punched all the fairways, tee boxes, and greens, top-dressed the greens this week. So the course has been closed until today just to do some of this heavy lifting that we've got going on, because now the time, you know, we're anticipating the growing season to kick in here as this weather turns, and it's got to be ready to go. And I tell you, it is all odd.
Well, I'm exhausted just listening to you. I mean, I'm going to have to go home and take a nap. Let's talk for a minute about the volunteer situation, because we've already started and been talking about this for a while. I saw a tweet, I think last week, that it's going pretty well. We have a number of volunteers signed up already. How is that going?
I tell you what, we launched it here, I don't know if it was just about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, I can't remember now. Mornings turn into night pretty quick around here. But we launched it and had 200 signups. And be mindful, on the PGA Tour, the volunteer program is the backbone of a successful event.
Absolutely.
What's you know, unique about it, and folks that aren't involved with golf won't understand, but volunteers pay to participate, and our fee is $75. And with that $75, you get your hat, your Nike hat, your Nike shirt, your official gear that you wear during your working shifts that you volunteer for. You get a free round of golf here on this championship course at a later date. And then you also have an opportunity to get a couple of tickets. So for when you're not working, you and your friend or buddy or spouse can come out and enjoy the golf as well. And there's a lot of folks. What's been really unique, Matt, we open it up, launch it, and in 2 days had 200 people signed up and paid.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
So we're now somewhere around 300 people a couple of weeks in, slows down a little bit this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're starting to handpick volunteer chairpersons to head up different areas of our volunteer program, whether it's hole marshals or, you know, transportation or whatever it may be. And they'll start recruiting, and then that exponential growth will grow from there. And so we're going to end up somewhere in the neighborhood probably of 1,500 volunteers by the time the tournament starts. And they'll be fed every day, given their assignments, get out and work, enjoy the golf, create new relationships. And it's incredible because there's a lot of people that have already signed up that have already been doing this at the Players Championship in Florida or at the Memorial in Columbus. And they do it every year. And so we're going to reap the benefits of having some veterans that do this for the enjoyment of the game.
That's incredible.
The working experience.
Yep, it's incredible. And here's the other thing, just in listening to you talk about that. I've been watching golf and playing golf for decades. I don't think anybody realizes, I know because I'm in the business, I know about volunteers and how important they are to a tournament, but when people watch a golf tournament on TV and they see people standing at the tee box and holding their hands up for quiet and all the volunteers, they have no idea what goes into putting on a golf tournament every year. It's incredible.
Well, you know, I like to think because I'm older that I'm a veteran of sports event management, right?
Yes.
And we run two web.com tour events now. They're at Out Islands in the Bahamas to start the web.com tour season back in January. And they're not a made for attendance event. They're a made for television event,
right?
To be quite honest. And those are complex. We do a ton of college basketball. We had 129 college basketball games under contract this past year, all between November and December.
Wow.
And so we do a lot at a lot of venues around the country and outside the U.S. And yet I had always told my friends I was never going to do anything in Lexington unless it was something large. And
well,
this thing has so many moving parts. It is so complex. I think it's even for an old veteran like myself, it's like, wow, there's a lot here. And I'm blessed to have just an outstanding staff that can get it done, because it's quite the beast.
All right. Now, I want you to answer me honestly. All right. No fooling around. It's just you and me talking. Okay. So you years ago, when before any of this happened, you didn't have any thoughts about this. And then all of a sudden you talk about it, decide to go through with it. Yes. And it's the impact, not only economically, but golf wise, culturally, for our whole area is going to be phenomenal. Is there ever a time though, like in the last few weeks, where you're just sitting on the couch, maybe having a glass of wine, and you just think to yourself, what am I doing? Why did I do this? Have you ever had that thought?
Maybe four or five times a day now.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I tell you what, you know, in this type of business that I'm in, and this goes back to my days at UK Athletics, before that with Kaywood and working with him, my first job in the KHSAA, running the state tournaments and so forth. You know, just as an example, game day, when I was at UK and walking into Rupp Arena in the morning to do setup, there was something about that feeling that this is something special, right?
Right.
And it was each and every game. Well, we're getting that now, and it's really ramped up, to be honest with you, this week, because a lot of stuff started happening here on the course.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to see it, and now it's coming to life. We've been talking about it and planning on it now for months. We've known about this for somewhere in the neighborhood of 14, 15 months now. And yet, once this work started to ensue, I mean, all that was happening over the winter, Matthew, was tree removal. There was,
right.
You can't do much else.
Yep.
And they've taken out hundreds of trees on this course, and you can't, I mean, you can tell it's cleaned it up, but there are trees everywhere still.
Yeah.
But that was all that was really happening. Now it's like, oh, wow, this is really, really going to be something special. This is cool. This is why I'm doing this. It kind of reinforced that we wanted to be involved with something special. We knew it could be a tremendous, tremendous event for our community, something we can be proud of, something that we can own, something that we can showcase our beautiful bluegrass region at a time when very little else is going on. We've got really no competition in the marketplace because I think the Reds are already out of the race.
Easy,
much less by July. So we're going to be sitting there in the middle of the summer, long summer night, with Golf Channel televising at 200-plus countries.
Yeah.
We've got television times from 5 to 8 on Thursday and Friday nights, 4 to 7 on Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
It's going to be one big party each night here. After work for those that have to work all day long, for those that can make it out, it's going to be something special. And then the end result, like you said, a $20 million impact, $20 million economic impact on an annual basis. And wait till we get this, the charitable piece. We're going to announce it this coming week at the Birdies for the Bluegrass,
yeah.
How charities can sign up. And once that really kicks in 2 or 3 years, you watch the impact it has for our own community. It's just so many positives out of this deal.
All right. Well, you're like a great coach who just gave a pregame speech. I'm ready. I'm coming out there. I'm getting in my car, and I'm going to go pull up a tree or something.
Let's go.
I'm ready. All right. Well, you're a great one. And thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be obviously checking in and talking about this from now until after the tournament is over. And it's great talking to you, and I'll see you real soon.
Well, Matthew, thanks for having me on. We look forward to it, and we appreciate all you do for golf here in Central Kentucky.
Thanks, Brooks. Have a great day.
All right, have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it. I'm exhausted. Just listening to Brooks and listening to Jeff Babineau brought back that walking around Augusta on Wednesday. I'm tired, Sean. I'm going to go home and take a nap. Thanks to everybody that's been on. Thanks to my partner, Perry French, Cleveland Golf, Srixon Golf, Xexio Golf, Jeff Babineau, who's always fantastic, and Brooks Downing, as you just heard. This is just going to be amazing. You can go to barbasolchampionshipky.com. And sign up to be a volunteer. Just look around there. It's a great experience. Thanks to my other partners, Lexington Parks and Rec, for our great golf courses. Edwin Watts, for all the great stuff they have over there. Man of War Golf, no place better anywhere than Man of War Golf. Practice, club fitting, lessons, junior golf, everything about it. And, of course, French Lick Resort. I'm going. Maybe I'll go today, just drive up there and check out for a while. Want to go, Sean? Yeah, sure. Okay. See you all back here next week, 8:03 tee time. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.